Today on Real Radio.
But if you stand up knowing that you are accepted by God and you have God's approval, you can stand up in the truth, and it doesn't matter, like the great prophets of old or the great leaders of history. They had a vision from God, no matter what the polls stated, no matter what the history books threatened to write about them. They stood for what is right. And Jesus said, listen, because he knows you and you know him, you can stand for what's right. And listen, you will not be approved by men, but thank God you are approved by the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the first 15 verses of chapter 8. The passage includes the parable of the sower, and it's a four-part series because there are four different types of soil or hearts that react to the Word of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called Is This Your Heart?
Then he spoke this parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no more room for all my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger or greater barns. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided, or what has he laid up for in the end? He's not going to take it with him. So he said, so is he who lays up the treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. This guy saw his good investments become super rich. He's got these barns. He's got these storage units. He's got these garages stuffed with stuff. And he winds up saying, my goodness, I need bigger garages. I need to get a bigger house. I need to get bigger things. I got to get warehouses for my stuff. And he hoards it up. And God says, you fool. You've laid all this stuff up for the future, but you don't know that your soul is required of you now. And in the end, who have you laid it up for? This is amazing in that it's so clear and plain to us, and yet we know that it's of the human heart to be burdened with cares. None of us sign up to be burdened with cares, but we begin to sow to this kind of stuff, and we begin to think, you know what? I'm not very comfortable because I'm not very satisfied. And why are we not comfortable? Because we're not satisfied. Why are we not satisfied? Because we begin to look at other people's stuff, and we strive to go get it and to pursue it and to hunger for it. And when we get something, we build a bigger barn to park it in or to store it in. And rather than possessing it and owning it, it winds up possessing or owning us. You guys, have you ever been to Hearst Castle? Listen, I got to tell you, I encourage you strongly to take a trip to San Luis Obispo and go through Hearst Castle. Because on that tour, first of all, it's insane how opulent that place is. But that guy sent William Randolph Hearst, sent his buyers. He had buyers that worked for him full time. He sent them out all around the world to buy stuff that he wanted. And in one pursuit, for 3 years, they were looking for this one article. I don't remember what it is, some painting of some sorts. He sent the guy all around the world looking for this painting, and they couldn't find it anywhere. And they found out that he had it in his warehouse the whole time. He already owned it. That's sick. That's insane. Oh, how difficult this is. The cares of comfort. If I just had this, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. Jesus said it's a trap. Secondly, the heart choked with cares. Cares of approval. Not only of satisfaction, seeking it, but approval. That is a sense of seeking belonging. Wasn't Adam and Eve approved of in the garden? Don't you think God approved of Adam and Eve in the garden? I believe the answer to that is yes. God didn't make them because, you know, at the end, God made them and he said, it is good. It's very good. God didn't make Adam and Eve with something left out. It was very, very good. And they had God's approval. By the way, as a Christian, do you understand, Christian? You have God's approval through Jesus? That's important you understand that. But see, this kind of heart that is being choked with cares seeks approval. It seeks belonging. And we can get caught up in a heart that is burdened with this kind of a care as they'll do anything. Listen, please hear this. This kind of a person whose heart is burdened with not the things of security and belonging and satisfaction in God, they don't have that. This heart claims religion, claims Christ, but the heart is missing something. And what is it missing? It is burdened with this thing as the weeds grow around it, and it's pursuing approval. It's seeking approval. Belonging. And here's what I mean. This kind of heart tries to seek the pleasure of man, seek the acceptance of man. Did they see me do this? Oh, do you know that I just did this? Oh, after all, I, and after all, me, and it's all about themselves. Hoping that someone will approve of them. Hoping that someone will pat them on the back and say, good job. Look, as humans, we all need, listen, encouragement from one another. That's normal, godly, and we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to encourage each other. But we are not to be like this heart that says, pat me on the back because I need self-worth. When we ask for that, listen, we are missing the reality that God and his love for us is our self-worth. That when we realize God loves us, God is for us, Jesus is waiting to hear my prayer. He wants to lead me today and guide me today. That in Christ, I am as fully acceptable to God as Jesus is before the Father if I'm in Christ. And that if I'm in Christ means, are you trusting and are you putting your faith in Jesus? Then listen, you will be satisfied no matter what you own or don't own, and you will have a great sense of approval before God, regardless of who pats you on the back or who does not pat you on the back. Church, please listen. If your life is so frail and fragile, God is saying to you today, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. You don't need to live for the approval of man. Because let me tell you, you already know what I'm going to say, I think. If you have the approval on Sunday, it doesn't mean you'll have it on Monday. And if you take a stand, you know, that's what's wrong, by the way, with what's going on in the world with politicians. We need statesmen today. We don't need any more politicians. We need statesmen. Statesmen stand up for what's right. Politicians do whatever the audience is yelling the most. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. See, if you're living for the approval of man, you will be like a reed blowing in the wind. But if you stand up knowing that you are accepted by God and you have God's approval, you can stand up in the truth, and it doesn't matter, like the great prophets of old or the great leaders of history. They had a vision from God, no matter what the polls stated, no matter what the history books threatened to write about them, they stood for what is right. And Jesus said, listen, because he knows you and you know him, you can stand for what's right. And listen, you will not be approved by men, but thank God you are approved by the Lord. And we need this more than ever before. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, now it happened as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. You know Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. So you got Mary sitting at his feet listening, and you got Martha who invited him in. But Martha was distracted. That's this word of being burdened or caring much. For she with serving much. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, these are true sisters, aren't they? Therefore, tell her to help me. Can you imagine telling Jesus what to do? Jesus, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Do you see that? Jesus, come on in. We'd like to make you lunch. Come on in. He comes on in. Mary, as Jesus starts teaching, Mary just sits at his feet and is listening. Wow, this is so good for my soul. This is awesome. I need this. This is great. And you can hear the pots down the hallway. You can hear the pots and pans clanging. The drawers are slamming. Mary, slam, bam, clang. Mary! And here comes Martha. She's got flour across her face. Her apron's got spaghetti sauce on it. And she's wiping her hands and she says, Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all this on my own? Tell my sister to come and help me. And Jesus drops a bombshell. Mary's chosen the better thing to do. Martha, you're really worried and troubled about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you are living for that is not going to matter in the end. It's all going to be gone away. I think Martha's a perfect picture of doing what's good, certainly. Doing what's needed, sure. We all have to eat. But Martha viewed this priority above being with Jesus. And maybe in her life she confused it and melted it all together. Jesus says, no. It's me first. It's my experience and my relationship with you first before you go do these other things. Notice Jesus has to say her name twice. Martha, Martha, you're distracted. Are we not like this in our culture? Are we not like this in Southern California today? Are we not distracted? Doesn't Jesus say, Jack, Jack? Yes. But how many times, listen, do we get caught up with things and we're doing it for the approval of people? Thirdly, under this point, a heart choked by cares, the cares of security. What do we mean by that? Security meaning independence. And this is a tough one for us to swallow. At least, listen, God showed me this in my study time because it convicts me. It may not relate to you, but it really convicts me wide open. The cares of security. I'm not talking about packing a gun or having an armor-plated car. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in life, especially as a dad. How many of you are dads? Raise your hand. There's this sense within us of dads, and you guys listen to me carefully. Don't run out of here with your hair on fire freaking out about what I'm going to say. As a father, we are supposed to provide, and we are supposed to build a sense of security for our families. We are, listen, dad, we are not only, according to the book of Proverbs, to be working for our children's future. The Bible says we are supposed to be working for the future of our children's children. Did you know that? Our culture is so messed up. We grow up as parents, and then we drain from our kids. That is completely not biblical. It's all cockeyed wrong. We're supposed to be investing in such a way that it blesses our children and our grandchildren. We're supposed to be wise about it. Now, having said that, we can easily step off of that beam and get right into this thing of being burdened with the cares of security, where we do the best that we can and then commit it to God, where we wind up, we do the best we can and more and beyond, and we get obsessive and crazy about it until we get overboard about it and we leave God right out of the factor. And here's when we know when we've erred. When whatever we do have, we begin to say, as that man who had the barns, oh, I've got this income, it's going to go to my kids, it'd be my wife's blessings if I die, and all this stuff, and I've done all this, and then, oh, looky here, and everything's great, and you never really wind up passionately with the same intensity committing them to God. Are you committing them to the bank, to Wall Street, to whatever? What about God? There's a balance, you know. But we begin as humans, when we're not focusing on the Lord, to get our weight on that carnal thing, most often that we've created. Wasn't Adam and Eve secure? Hey, they were so secure, they walked around naked and they didn't even know it. That's how secure they were. They walked around in the garden. Nowhere do you see them walking around the garden and, man, I sure hope that crop makes it next week or next year. Boy, Eve, I don't know. You better cut back on that. We don't know how it's going to go. And also, Adam didn't walk around saying, my, look at all this, look at all the bananas and the papayas and the guavas and the avocados and look at all this, boy, look at all this stuff we have. Who needs God? You know, the Bible never curses the fact that somebody who is rich is rich. The Bible curses the fact that the rich forget God. Security. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Thank you, Lord. It only happened once. And to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin unto salvation. You say, Jack, how does that verse tie into security? Because you know what? We're supposed to do the best we can and give it to the Lord. We're supposed to occupy till the Lord comes. We are supposed to be busy and work and do all that stuff. But the bottom line is, friend, at the end of the day, church, you listen to me, you leave it in the hands of God. You just leave it there. And you trust the Lord. And let me add this. Before you get up in the morning, commit it to the Lord. I know a man that is a brilliant man, genius of a guy, made all kinds of money, made millions, got sued, lost it all, came back, took him years, but made millions again, got sued, lost it all, came back, made millions again, third time, made millions, lost it all. Got sued again. Has a real disdain for attorneys and things like that now. And let me tell you, he knows he can make millions anytime he wants. But now he has learned that it's much more content for him to live hand to mouth and trust in the Lord. He's not broke and he's not rich. Just like Solomon said, Lord, teach me how to be comfortable and secure and approved before you like this. He said, Lord, give me just enough so I don't go to bed hungry, but don't give me too much, God, that I forget who you are. Isn't that sweet? Very important. Point number two this morning, is this your heart, this type of heart that is choked by all these cares, or is a heart that's also choked by riches? Riches. According to the Lord, the God of the Bible, this is what Jesus says. Now, the ones that fell upon the thorns are those who, when they have heard the word, go out. And he says here, they're choked by riches. Now, I'll give you some verses that we don't have on the screens, but they're so important. Jot them down. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just read the whole chapter, but specifically verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 tells us that those who desire to be rich wind up piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Now watch. Church, you guys know your Bibles. Is it a sin to have things or to be wealthy? No, it's a sin to enthrone them, to enshrine them. It's a sin to be worshiping those things. This is my personal opinion. Okay, this is my opinion. I think of God's people, not all of us are supposed to be in this place, but there are those people. There are those people who I think God would love to make wealthy, to invest in the kingdom of God and bless other people if they would just get their eyes on the Lord. I think sometimes Christians wind up going without in some cases. Now, not everyone's supposed to have stuff. I understand that. But some, I think, are withholding from themselves in the sense that James says it, if you ask God for this thing, he doesn't give it to you because you would consume it upon your own lust. I think if we said, God, I know a man that said, God, I'm going to give this to your work. In fact, it's this church. He lives 3,000 miles from here, who said, God, I'm going to pray, here's this money, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you, God, to show me what stock to put it in the stock market. I won't touch one penny of it. I'll take this and I'm going to give it to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And God, here it is. I will never touch a penny that this thing makes. And he invested it. I think if we had more of that attitude. But we're the ones, I don't mean you. Nobody in this church would think what I'm about to say. Not us, but I'm talking about human. The human heart says things like, God, if you just bless me with scratching the lotto numbers, I'll give you, 90%. And then as you keep scratching, or the numbers are being read off on the screen. God, did I say 90%? I meant 50%. And there's three of the numbers. Three of my numbers are being called. God, did I say 50? I meant 20%. Riches. This correlates in our study together. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, John says, is the lust of the eyes. That correlates perfectly with Genesis 3:6. Eve saw that when she looked at the fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes. Lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes. What is this word riches? This is the word in the Greek that means this, to hunger or to look after a fullness, an overflowing fullness, possessions, money, power, and abundance, more than what you need. I want more than what I need. Do you realize how funny that is? Think about it. I need more than what I need. I gotta be rich. Why? I gotta have more than what I need. Doesn't that just, you wouldn't think that logic in any other area.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Is This Your Heart? It's a four-part mini-series that looks at the four types of soil, or the four different types of recipients of God's Word, as mentioned in the famous parable of the sower, taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to let you know about an upcoming event on the 4th of July. It has nothing to do with fireworks, by the way. But here's Pastor Jack to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have his way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call, the number two, fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says, I'm in. And you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering. And make a statement. Take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
Okay, so that's calltofall.com. C-A-L-L, the number two, and then the word fall.com to find out more. You can also visit our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to participate in the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.